Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 2nd of July. I'm your host, Paul White, and it's a privilege to be with you as we begin a new verse-by-verse study. As announced on the DDP yesterday, by the way, if you missed yesterday, just over 11 minutes of some pretty vital information regarding the next 7 to 8 weeks for our ministry, and we want to keep you up to date. Some of the places we'll be going, some of the things we'll be doing, and some of the things that are on deck for our future, so check that out. As we mentioned in that podcast, we start with the book of 1 Peter today, and I was thinking before I hit record today that these early moments as we introduce books are some of my favorites. I mean, I love the everything about the chronological left-to-right study of the Scriptures. I love it. It keeps us moving forward. It helps us keep things in context. And as a teacher and a student myself, it keeps me in the Scriptures in a unique way. I'm not looking for sermon material. I'm not just randomly at sitting down and reading for devotional. I'm investigating a book as it lays on the page, and I'm trying to not only interpret it for my own life, but find a way to make that interesting for an audience. So I love this whole process. Today, tomorrow, maybe the next day, we'll spend the time that I think is important time laying out what 1 Peter is all about, who wrote it, why he wrote it, how he wrote it, and then I'll do what I love even more, and that's jumping to other scholars and commentators to try to get ideas that perhaps are not my own. I may not share those ideas, but I think they're vital if we're going to understand the book with its context. So I encourage you over the next several weeks, maybe months, to spend time with Peter's first letter, the first epistle to from Peter to his audience. And that audience is what we'll start by talking about today, a large audience, a rather large audience, all Christians in the regions, because he tells us, and we will not get into the verse by verse yet, but sometimes it helps to sort of grab some things from the early text so that you can realize where you need to go. He tells us that he's writing to the elect strangers of the dispersion. And that dispersion, he says, covers Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. That's an area that covered about 300,000 square miles and really an enormous body, an enormous spot, probably about the size of the state of Montana, honestly, if you just sort of compare all of the Anatolian Peninsula. We don't get a detailed account of what his audience is going through, what's happening in their life day to day. And he speaks in a little bit generic terms that sort of covers a lot of people living in various conditions, various cultures, and various cultural conditions. So he's probably really talking more out of his own experience. This is classic preaching. We've got a lot of people in the audience from a lot of different backgrounds bringing a lot of different things to the table. So what we really do is we speak out of our own experience and we let people grab of our experience what relates to their experience. That's okay, and that's what we do when we read the Bible as well. We don't know what it means to be dragged into the street and nearly stoned to death because we've been caught in the act of adultery, though there may be a listener who committed adultery, and that might apply to you in some way. There's probably even more listeners who've been accused of something they've done, and the pain of that accusation still stings. There may be even more listeners who've had their backs against the wall being confronted with impossible choices. See how one story relates in different ways, though maybe probably none of us have been nearly stoned to death for a crime. All of us find ourselves in that story. Maybe we're the woman on her hands and knees on the edge of the street. Maybe we're Jesus with our finger in the dirt. Maybe we're the Pharisees or the mob holding the stone. Maybe we're an observer watching this from the outside. We don't know what Peter's audience is really going through, yet Peter, who's in Rome at the time of the writing, according to the fifth chapter, is really speaking into them the things the Holy Spirit has been speaking into him. And he even says in chapter 5 that these are the things that Christians throughout the world are undergoing. So he believes that what he's writing will be for those who are suffering, for those who are in need, for those who very desperately need to hear what he has to say. And what he has to say deals with a persecution that has happened. And when we talk about persecution, a lot of times we think stonings and sawed in half and put in prison, but that doesn't apply to any of us either. However, we still have accusation, we still go through hardship, and we still go through our own shares of persecution. And out of that, we can either grow into a more mature believer, or we can become bitter. And our response to that persecution really determines the result of what happens, that we either grow up and strengthen, or we digress into bitterness. So Peter, really, his book is going to deal with that. Writing to, and we'll repeat this many times, this is something that we've had to bring out several times in several books. In fact, you need to keep this in mind, really, in every New Testament book. You're writing primarily to Jewish believers. That's why he uses the phrase pilgrims in verse 1, really, in the Greek, elect strangers of the dispersion. These are Jews who are dispersed. And these Jewish believers in Christ are struggling in the middle of being persecuted. Peter's letter will encourage them to be courageous because they know Christ. Their character and their conduct will need to be above reproach. So we're going to get into some character and conduct issues when we deal with the book of 1 Peter. He will speak to them as born-again people. This is unique. Paul doesn't use this terminology in the way that Peter does. We'll get into some of those similarities and differences because there are both similarities and differences. Similarities, as we'll learn tomorrow, to the point that we can even question the authorship of the book of Peter being attributed to Peter. We'll get into that, like I say, tomorrow. And I'll wind this down today. One of the big moments in this book, this climactic moment, is a submission to the good hand of God in the middle of your persecution. It'll happen somewhere in around chapter 4 when Peter says, "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." And so this is Peter's theme. You're not alone. You're not unique. This persecution is widespread. Here's what it looks like. Here's how you can survive it. So we are in for good, not only good news, but also good advice as we work through this letter. Tomorrow we will deal with the authorship of 1 Peter. We'll see you then. God bless.